They walked with God. You don't imagine that. There's only two people where it is written in the manuscripts that actually walked with God. You know who they were? Enoch and Noah. And we're going to cover them just a little bit, but mainly as to what it means to you today. You know, when somebody is well-pleasing enough to God that he will walk with them, they're well-pleasing. And when you're well-pleasing to God, he appreciates you, and he's going to bless you. And that's kind of what life is all about, is for you to please him, to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the 11th chapter of the great book of Hebrews. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 1, and it reads, Now faith is the substance. What is faith? Faith is the substance, the real thing. It is the confidence. It is your deed to your inheritance. Faith is your substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see heaven right now. You can imagine it. You can read about it. But, oh, it is awesome. It's really awesome. And you've got a deed to it if you have faith. Verse 2, For by it the elders obtained a good report. They had a good testimony. They could teach a good word. They had something to say that really amounted to something. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, we've got to do a little bit of work on that, because the word worlds would mean creation. It's not talking about creation. It's talking about dispensations of time, for the word is eons. Okay, by the word of God, the eons were put in their present position. That means a time and a place for everything. And our Father's got it. Okay. And he sets those times. He's the one that knows those times and those dispensations. He set them. He set three specific heaven ages. He set three specific earth ages. Same old heaven, same old earth, but all in different periods of time. That's the way our Father operates. Verse 4, By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. I mean, that good gift in pleasing God still speaks even to this day. That it's better to be pleasing to God than to be like Cain, who followed Satan, father of the Kenites, that brought much wickedness into the world. That's definitely, you have a choice there by faith. You have no problem knowing which way you're going to take. Okay. And again, you have a sign there of Satan interceding. Satan interceded through Cain, of course, to mess up the real wonderful saving plan of Almighty God, your Father. Verse 5, this is why we came here. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had what testimony? The truth. He preached it. He prophesied it. What does Enoch mean in the Hebrew tongue? It means dedicated. It means focused. It means I can cut it. I can handle it. I can stick with it. I understand it. And nothing will change me. He was seventh born. And that number seven means being dedicated. He's kind of symbolic of God's election, the 7,000 that will still do the same. All right? And so it is. This one, seventh from Adam himself, brings forth this. He walks with God. He was translated by God. He taught God's word without any interference, without any fluff. sticking to the truth, remaining focused. That's what you've always got to do, beloved. You've got to stay focused on the Father's Word, not man's Word. Man will take you down Primrose Lane, likes to dream and see great things and think great things of himself. God is our Father, and He's the one that's in charge. He hands out blessings. I don't know, you've been getting your part. Think about it, all right? If not, you better start analyzing yourself. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Just scratch it. I mean, it's impossible. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He rewards you for just looking. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to be a deep, deep scholar of God's Word. But to believe, to know that God created the heavens and the earth, the dispensations of time, that He sits on the throne, that He's in charge, and though you can't see Him, you can feel Him. And when He touches you, you know He's real. And that's as it is. Our Father's in control. Now, this is not just a part-time, few years thing. You die and push up a few daisies. This is forever. There's no such thing as death with God. Instantly, when this flesh deceases, your spiritual body, which is your real self, returns to the Father, the David. Either to be judged in one way or the other. I hope you choose the right way. It's so easy to please Him, and your faith is your deed. It's your heritage. The amount of faith you have, you know, there's no such thing as having a little bit of faith. You either believe or you don't. Don't give me this, well, sometimes I believe. No, you don't. You're a non-believer. You either believe or you don't, so don't play games with God, okay? You can be a miserable failure, but you better still believe that He's real. He's not a failure. And He knows how to pick you up and to hold you and to love you as a father will, and guide you and direct you and correct you. But He's able to take care of His own. Now, let's pursue this just a little bit further. Enoch, being dedicated, and I think it's important that he was named dedicated. 65 years he walked the earth, bore a son, Methuselah, and in 300 years he was dedicated and taught, prophesied, taught God's Word. Go with me to the book of Jude, right before the great book of Revelation, okay? Book of Jude. Why did God pick Enoch? And isn't it important what Enoch said, what he taught? It's very important because it was well-pleasing to God. It was so pleasing to God, He didn't even let him die. He translated him just like He did Elijah. So it's special to Him. So it's important that you know what He taught. Jude, book of Jude, right before the great book of Revelation, New Testament, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. Called meaning what? Chosen. One of God's elect. One dedicated. Now, you can cover in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, and find out this is Jesus' brother. Okay. This is Jesus' brother. This Jude is. Verse 2, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. This is the message I would like to bring you. It's just love and peace. But, beloved, when I gave all diligence, when I really sincerely thought about this, to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful of me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend, that means defend, for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I want you to stick with it. I want you to be dedicated to it. Don't mix with the people with free will their grace and love and peace with your duty as one of God's elect that's dedicated. There's a difference. And God's elect know it. There's certain things you're responsible for. And so he said, I need to remind you of this so that you don't trip and fall. And even as you're teaching and as you're preaching, I want you to testify to it. I want you to protect it, defend it. Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Wanted to sit on the mercy seat right in the first earth age, Satan did, take all the authority away from Christ, condemning men when salvation was being made available by Almighty God, to trash it and let Satan sit there. Is that what you want? I think not. No, God instead dethroned him and promised him in Ezekiel 28 verses 18 and 19, I'm going to turn you to ashes from within. That's the verdict for Satan when ultimately all things are said and done, and he has done the negative part of God's word. Jude says you need to remember these things. It's real wonderful to be able to talk grace and peace and love to those that have free will, but you of God's election, you dedicated, you need to remember who's working behind the woodwork. And it's not termites. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. How people forget. Okay. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. You know, how many examples must be set forth? You either believe or you're going to be destroyed. Okay. What use does he have for you if you don't believe in him? Okay. Communists don't believe in him. That's why the last war of Haman Gog is fought, so they do know there is a God when he rains hailstones on them, not us. He's going to do it. And he's going to stand there letting them know he is God. And that they had better believe, or through the millennium and at the end of the millennium, down. Okay. So the choice is there. So what he's saying is, it's all right to have grace and peace and salvation. But if you don't believe, he's going to destroy you. He did that. He saved them parted the Red Sea, let Pharaoh's army come after them, then closed the army, the river waters, the Red Sea over them, drowning Pharaoh's army, bringing them to safety. But then when they would not believe and obey, he had to destroy that generation. It's awful. It's really bad that generations do that. But hey, listen, turn on your television and look around you today. That's what's happening in this world. At the perversion. And they're brag about it. You know, brag about it. That's what Jude's reminding you of here. Verse 6. Then he goes on back to the beginning of this dispensation of time. 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. In other words, they were angelic beings. They left their first habitation knowing better. So there is no choice for them. They locked in destruction when they did that. Now, you are in a flesh body, and you were born innocent, not knowing if God was real. To make your mind up whether you would love God or you'd just follow the ways of the world. These fallen angels, Nephilim in the Hebrew tongue, knew better. They knew there was a Father. And they knew what they were doing. But they saw the daughters of Adam, that they were fair to look upon. And to earth they came in angelic beings. And naturally, that's what brought about the giants before the flood of Noah. All right. They're reserved. I mean, their death sentence is passed. But they've got just a little bit more work to do. And that's why it's important that you know the message. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. This means perversion, beloved. Okay, perversion. Are set forth for an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And God is that eternal fire. He is the judge. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. They speak evil of Christianity. They smirk and giggle if Christianity is even mentioned in lordship, the dignity of Almighty God. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a riling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And that's all you can do today, beloved. Christ gave you that power to rebuke the evil spirits. You better be good at it, okay, if you step into that role, because they have to obey. But don't argue with Satan. You'll lose every time. Don't give him an inch. Just tell him, "Away with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Out of my life. I've got no room for negative thought or negative action. I believe and I follow the living God." That's what should be in your mind, not those thoughts. Verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. They don't understand. But what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves, and they continue to do it. Perversion, perversion, perversion. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and run greedily after the arrow of Balaam. Preaching for money is what that means, for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kori. Kori thinking he was more powerful. He was a Levitical priest. But he decided Moses wasn't chosen of God, that he was. And God hadn't spoken to him. And God opened a crest up in the earth and swallowed him and everybody that followed him and covered it over. They perished. God doesn't mess around when it comes right down to it. He's long-suffering, as it's written in 2 Peter, hoping all will come to repentance. But he does run out of patience, just like the generation in the wilderness, one day too long. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. They're nothing. They're hot air, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. I mean, twice dead means both physically and spiritually. Dead in a hammer. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, proud of it. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. God has already sentenced that 7,000, as it is written in Revelation 11, to death. Here's why we came here, verse 14. And Enoch also, Enoch meaning dedicated also, the seventh from Adam, symbolic of the 7,000 of God's elect, dedicated, prophesied what? Prophesied of thee, saying, what did Enoch say? Saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." And the Lord can do it. Why? Verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You know, it would seem that people like to degrade. Let's just take God out of our vocabulary. Let's take it out of the schools. Thank God, and in rural areas, we still have schools that pray. We still have schools that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not ashamed of it. They don't boast or make light or anything. It's just natural that they be Christian. So it's wonderful to see this and to see it happen. But you'll still hear occasionally of some lawyer jumping in trying to downgrade Christianity, trying to take "In God We Trust" out of our vocabulary. It's a common thing in this generation. And this is why Jude would remind you, they're out there. They're there. Well, what does that mean to us? Well, let's continue. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's learn a little more about these. The main thing I want you to know is, what does this mean to you today? What has it got to do with you today? That's why you study God's Word, as to what does it mean for me? Okay. Chapter 2, same subject of 2 Peter. Okay. In the third chapter is where he gives us the three earth ages, so that you gain knowledge and wisdom to be able to take the blinders off and see what happened in the first earth age and this one and in the one to come. How wonderful the Word of God. Chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. You know, don't worry. You don't have to read the Bible. You don't have to read Revelation. You're going to be gone. Just follow us and our traditions. You don't need the Word of God. How really weak would someone be that would take man's word over God's word? I have trouble fathoming reaching that trend of thought. But it's so much easier to think you're being spoon-fed, and it's so good sometimes to be spoon-fed until you wake up to they're feeding me garbage. That's not nice. So how do you correct that? You study for yourself to show yourself approved before the living God. Unashamed, dedicated in one of God's elect. Okay. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, making light of Christianity, so forth. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, foreign fabrications, okay, of how this should be or that should be, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. God has his hand on their switch, okay. You can rest assured. Faith is your deed. It is your right to eternal life. That Father is the one that will approve that deed, that substance. Verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and he did, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, we covered that in Jude, and you can cover it again in Genesis. We're going to go there in a minute even. It's important because it has to do with now. And spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the eighth person, eighth being, new beginnings. And Noah meaning peace. He's the other one that walked with God. A preacher of righteousness. He preached what? He preached righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. That wasn't created. That was a bunch of hybrids. Those that had intermixed with those fallen angels. With Satan trying to destroy God's perfect plan of salvation. And they were, in the Hebrew tongue, Geber, which means giants in those days. Okay. verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. With, I'm going to tell you something. God does not approve of that is not natural, and he will destroy it. And if you stand on ground that is unnatural, you're in bad shape. God will only honor that is natural. As he created it, so it is, and so it shall always be. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. They tried to seduce him. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. But did he kick over? No. Lot would have nothing to do with their perversion in Sodom. The Lord knoweth how to deliver. Listen to me. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God knows how to deliver you from any trouble you're going to walk into in this world and this time. He knows where you are. He knows who you are. And he will always protect you. Just as he protected the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, as it was heated 7 times hotter than was necessary. They weren't singed. Why? God knows how to protect his elect. You have nothing to fear. The only thing you would have to fear would be fear itself, and shame on you if you have some fear. Because if God is protecting you and you still have fear, you're a sad case, okay? You need to strengthen yourself, because God knows how to deliver his righteous people, those that are working with him, for him, to bless them, lead them, make them prosperous, to take forth what? The truth. That's the bottom of the barrel, the truth. Let it be all the way to the bottom and overflow the top. And let nothing arrive within that will not align with the word of the living God. It's all right to have grace, mercy, and peace to those ears that are tender. But for God's dedicated, you have to toe that mark. It does not release you from one whit of your responsibilities of holding that line, of taking that word forward, of keeping that deeper truth alive. Why? Because you were chosen before the foundations of the world. You either got it or you don't, okay? Some know what dedication means. Some know what discipline means. And it would seem some don't. I don't understand that. I would hate to live without discipline, because discipline makes life such a pleasure and helps us as we go forward, knowing and being able to discern. God is able. But if you don't have faith, what is it? It's impossible for him to help you. I'm going to say it again. We read it in Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have faith, it's impossible for him to help you. Why? Because if you don't have faith, you don't believe he exists. If you don't believe he exists, why should he help you? He doesn't owe you anything. Because you're a non-believer. You're like one of those he destroyed in the wilderness. So be true to him. Be dedicated as God's elect that you stand. God then, naturally, he is able to deliver his own. I want that to take a load off your mind. If you ever have an anxious moment, to know that God can deliver his godly people, and he knows how it's done, and he will do it. Okay, let's go with, if we may, then to Genesis. Let's get with this Enoch. Let's understand what he was doing, what he was born into. Seventh from the beginning, symbolic of the 7,000, name dedicated so that you would know and understand the example set forth. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Listen to it. Listen very carefully. And what incidentally does this have? We're way back here in Genesis. What does this have to do with you today? Well, I guarantee you, you're going to find out before this lecture is completed. Verse 21, the fifth chapter of Genesis, in the beginning, and as it gives the genealogy of Adam, not Cain. Cain's genealogy is in verse 4 because he was not of Adam. Okay. This is Adam's genealogy listed here in verse 5, chapter 5, rather. Verse 21 reads, "And Enoch, that dedicated one, lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." 65 years to brought forth this son. 22. "And Enoch, dedicated, walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." You can rest assured they heard the truth. You can rest assured he taught that truth. He prophesied it. 300 years of telling them, don't mix with fallen angels. Don't pervert yourselves. Don't mix stir up God's wrath, for God will not tolerate. And here, the whole nation was going astray at that time, with the exception of those that did walk with God. Verse 23, "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years." 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Because he was too good for that world age. It had to go down as it was going down. And there was another, though, that walked with God. Skip down, if you would, to chapter 6, verse 1. What has this got to do with you today? We're back in the 6th chapter of Genesis. Well, we'll find out, won't we? Chapter 6, verse 1. "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply," this is Adam. I'll even go further for the deeper student, Adam, "to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them." These are the daughters through which Christ would come ultimately. That's important. "That the sons of God," this is the fallen angels, okay? They're not sons of man, born of man. They're sons of God, created by God. They're angelic beings. Nephilim. Napha from the Hebrew meaning fallen. Okay. "Saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Rather than being born a woman, they seduced woman." Okay. Because of their perversion, because of Satan's insistence, just as Satan had accomplished with Eve, so he now sends his troops that would follow him. And so it was. Verse 3. "And the Lord said, My spirit," it grieved him, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And he shortened the generation to 120 years at this time. There would be other times, 40 and 70. Okay. Verse 4. "There were giants," Geber, "in the earth in those days." Why? Because of the hybrids. It was not normal. It was not natural for angels to mix with human beings. "And also after that, when the sons of God," these angels, "came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown." Again, Geber. Giants, not natural. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth," everywhere, "and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." He didn't have one good thought basically anywhere. It was just perversion, perversion, perversion. Fallen angels, fallen angels, fallen angels. All over. The whole nation. Verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him, at his heart. He had a perfect plan of salvation going for people, for his children. And Satan has really messed it up with perversion. 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. He was ready to give up. But do you know how loving our Father is? He knows how to deliver one righteous soul. And when he looked down in all that mess, he saw one man that had a family. He had 3 sons. He had not allowed those sons to participate in this hybrid stuff, to not have anything to do with those fallen angels, nor pick wives that had. They were pure Adamic peoples. They had a perfect generation. That's what it means. Pedigree, if you like. Well, is that a racist statement? I don't care what you think about it. That's what it means in the Hebrew tongue. Take it or leave it. It's the Word of God. Okay. But Noah, this is what happened. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he taught the Word. He practiced it. He preached it. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. That means he hadn't mixed, okay? And Noah walked with God. And so it was. There you have the 2 men that actually walked with God. Now, what does this have to do with you today? Jesus was asked in Matthew 24, Lord, what's it going to be like when you return? Give us the signs. Give us the times. Tell us what's going to happen. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave 7 things. They're the 7 seals in Matthew 24. But the question was, what's it going to be like at the 7th trump? And he tells us in this 24th chapter of Matthew, and that's what it has to do with you today, because you're approaching the 7th trump. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. And as he told them that the false Christ would come, that the false Christ would deceive many, and that they would try to get you to receive that false Christ by saying, lo, he's here, or lo, he's there. He said, don't you believe it. You stick with me. You stay with the truth. You let your faith be strong. Don't be deceived, for that false Christ shall return first, and he's going to carry some away. With what? Lies. Deception. Performing miracles in the sight of people. So, we come to Matthew chapter 24. I want to pick it up in verse 36. After the 7 signs were given, he said, this is the way it's going to be right at my return. You can count on it. Verse 36 reads, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But he gives us signs. 37, but as the days of Noah were. Remember how it was in Noah? We just read it. They were given and taken in marriage. They were marrying those fallen angels. Perversion reeked throughout the world. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be like that at the end. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. To who? The fallen angels, of course. Partying day and night. Only one entity left out of a whole bunch with a perfect family. Noah. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. And actually that was a 5-month period then of the rain, just like there is 5 months of Antichrist on this earth. Are you in the ark of the last days? You better be. You better know how to get on board. It's called truth. It's called righteousness. It's called God's Word. It's that that you're to defend, to protect. Well, I've heard all that before. Oh, well, you need to be reminded occasionally. Because, you know something? Once you've heard it, God intends for you to teach it. He didn't give it to you to sit on. So many people think, I've heard that. Well, get out and get to work and teach. Spread some truth. Amount to something. Plant one seed that grows. I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip, but I don't like lazy people. You live that righteous life. This doesn't mean you're perfect. But spread the word. Let the truth be known. Defend it. Protect it. Verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be exactly like that. The fallen angels are going to be kicked out to this earth, and they're looking for brides. Okay. This is why Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, that a woman should not cut her hair, but should keep the veil of Christ over her head. In verse 10, why? Because of the angels. What angels? The fallen angels. Have you never read Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, that Michael will cast Satan and his angels back out on this earth? Rejoice in heaven, but woe to you on earth. For they're with you, and they know that they have but a short time. He's coming as the mysterious Messiah, and his big boys are going to be busy at work. You better be set, and you better know. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, that's this world. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. The subject was deceived by Antichrist, not flying away, raptured to heaven. I've heard preachers say, oh, glory, let me be the first to go. And Satan's dead? Really, that's kind of ignorant, isn't it? But ignorance is bliss. Okay. You got to wake up. You got to protect that truth. You have to prepare people for it, or guess whose guilt will be, whose hands will have that guilt on them, for you knew better. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. That hour of temptation. That hour that, and you know, God is so good to us because we know when the two witnesses die in Jerusalem. We've got 3.5 days, okay? And he's coming back. And there are signs that you know and you need to observe. Let God be God and you be a servant. You do God's work and God will walk with you in that he will let you walk with the truth and the sure knowledge. Nothing wrong with grace, love, and salvation. But God's dedicated ones must always, always contend. That means protect. That truth, that word in depth, it's important. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth. And Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that protects us. We know you're able to protect each and every one, Father, that loves you through any kind of circumstance when we use common sense, Father. Lead, guide, direct, and bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived. And Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
I have a question. Then why do you say sometimes you sure do love to have a thick ham steak once in a while? You've never heard me say in my lifetime I love a thick ham steak. I cannot imagine. I said, hey, my main cut is ribeye. Well, you surely don't think a ribeye steak is ham, okay? I do not partake of ham, and it is an unclean food. You said this would surely confuse the child. I asked this out of love. I didn't know for sure how to approach you on this. Well, listen better, okay? And I'm not dressing you down. It's all right. You might have heard me say I enjoy a good hamburger every once in a while. I hope you don't think a hamburger is made out of ham, because it's ground beef, okay? But I do enjoy a good hamburger every once in a while, but not everybody makes a good hamburger, you know. That's why I like homemade hamburgers. You're at home and you make it, okay? That makes it better. You know exactly what's in the beef. But no, you've never heard me say I enjoy a good ham steak every once in a while. If I were to call, I'm going to let that go at that, okay? Valerie from Oklahoma, what do you say to people that say you don't need to obey the food laws because that's Old Testament and we live under the new law today? You have such a way with words, I know you can tell me just what to say to this. Well, make a note of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go down about verse 3 or 4 where you don't judge people in food or marriage, okay? When you get some authority that thinks they should say this person shouldn't marry and that person should, they don't know what they're talking about. If you don't know biblical law, you should keep your mouth shut, okay? As far as marriage is concerned. In the first place, if you're a true Christian, I don't care how many times somebody's been married, if they totally repent and have a fresh start, they're free to marry. Not but food. He says there, all in the New Testament, all of God's foods are good that God created in verse 3 to be received. He didn't create scavengers to be received. In other words, these flesh bodies are no different today than they were 3,000 years ago. Okay, still, God created man. He put these things together. He knows what's healthy for us, and he knows what's unhealthy. So certainly, it's not a sin to death, but it's nice to be healthy. And that's the way you document it. Many times people think Acts chapter 10 opened up the gate to all, but that would really be ignorant if people thought God lowered these sheets of unclean scavengers and told Peter to eat. He said, no way, Lord. He even refused God to eat any of it. Three times God lowered it, and three times God took it away, and then God said, that's good, because I wasn't talking about food anyway. I was talking about man. Don't you ever call a Gentile common again. Okay, or a scavenger was implied, okay, meaning unclean. So we weren't talking about food. The health laws still hold true. Robert from Kansas, Pastor Murray, do you think our troops need to be coming home? Well, naturally, we would like for our troops to come home when they rotate, when they do their job, but they are doing a fantastic job of keeping the terrorists in check as best they can, you know. What many people, these liberal peaceniks that like to march, I would like for them to go to Baghdad and march, okay? I mean, get right over there with it and let them march and tell the terrorists that they need to stop this, and protect the troops, and let a few of them be beheaded and see the real, true, tender heart of terrorists. Okay, Let a few of the liberals get beheaded. Okay. You know, that's what they would do to them. And if our troops, brave troops of this nation, don't take care of business there, they'll be here. They're already coming here. And if you don't believe it, you're not watching the news well enough. And then you have one of our stupid, silly courts say that an enemy combatant should go into a regular court where a bunch of slicks could make money out of the deal and override the military. What a disgrace this nation has come to. And we need to really have some changes in trivia lawsuits and lawyers. Needs to be a big shakeup. This nation is in danger. 9/11 documented it. Only an idiot would not recognize that. But we've got a lot of them in this country that like to listen to sweet by and by. That's why I'd like to see some of them go over themselves to Baghdad, into Iran, and into some of those places and make friends with the terrorists. I mean, wave their little flags of peace next to them and see how sharp their knives are. You'd find out. Okay, so our brave troops are doing a fantastic job, and I am so very proud of them. All right, they're doing a good job. Irene from in California. I was baptized as a teeny baby, and I'm bedridden, and I cannot go out. I've heard you need to be submerged like Jesus was. What can I do to be baptized? Will I be able to go to heaven without it? You're baptized here. Where you are bedfast and you're bedridden now, you were baptized, and I will declare you as baptized with the Holy Spirit to boot, because you want to be heaven bound. And your belief and your faith make you clean and whole. Christ did this to one of the thieves on the cross. He was hanging on that cross, and he said, he scolded another malefactor, and Jesus told him, I tell you this day, I will see you in paradise. He didn't take him down and go baptize him, submerge him. He made it. Now, am I against submerging? No, that's the only way to be baptized. But our Father is so loving and so understanding. There are extenuating circumstances. There are people that I have had to baptize that for health reasons could not be submerged. And I know that our Heavenly Father honored that, okay? Likewise with you, okay? It is done in His name. D.A. from Georgia, what is your view on Passover? I am a new student, and I do not understand how the day gets here. My wife celebrates Easter, and I do not want any part of it, and you know that now that I know the truth. Well, you celebrate it by taking the spring equinox, which starts the new year. 14 days you wait, and the 15th day is Passover. You can always find out when the spring equinox is. It's basically the same time every year, and usually happens in March the 20th to the 21st. Usually always the 21st. 14 days, 15th day, Passover. Onyad, I think is what this is, and I apologize if that's not correct, in Oregon. Please explain how we are supposed to tithe the 10%. My wife and I go to different churches, and I study with a chapel. However, how are we supposed to distribute our tithes? Well, you're man and wife. There's 50-50, and each of you tithe. You're part of that wherever you're taught, okay? And you're in good shape. And many people on fixed incomes can't afford a full what would be 10%, okay? So be that as it may, everyone must decide that for themselves, okay? Jasper from Georgia, can a person that commits rape go to heaven? Not in the flesh, they can't. No, sir. They cannot go to heaven in the flesh. But by that I mean they cannot be forgiven in the flesh. Because as you will read in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 26, rape is the equivalent of murder. And murder demands capital punishment. Therefore, as it is written in the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 15, no way can a murderer in the flesh find salvation. You've got to go to the Father. And then the Father may forgive and he may not. But I guarantee you there'll be somebody else there waiting with you if you're a murderer to see whether the Father forgives you. It'd be the one you murdered. Okay. Now, likewise, a rapist. Now, these people that rape girls and kill them, don't worry. There's somebody there waiting for that rapist. And will God forgive them? I know my Father pretty well, and I'm not judge, he is. But I can't imagine why he would. Maybe the person they raped might say, Father, I forgive them. Maybe if you could, maybe... I don't know, that's the Father's business. I know what I'd do with them. It wouldn't be difficult at all. I mean, God made a place for them. It's called the burning pits of hell. And that's where they would be. No, a rapist cannot find salvation in the flesh. Again, Deuteronomy 22, and you will find it there in verse 26, that rape is the equivalent of murder. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? That's God's love. He wants these things to stop and cease happening among us if we follow God's law in it. And they might say, well, does it help betray it? Well, once they're dead, they're not going to do it again. Okay, they're gone. They're out of here. Got a free ride. Okay, hey, I love you because you enjoy God's Word. You know why? You stay in the Word. That's the most important thing. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know what?